This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. The series that I am going to conclude by the end of this month, Activism, Our Path Forward, and I feel like it's a good time to talk about this 9 months into the ongoing massacre that we have been witnessing in the Holy Land, that unfortunately, we have failed as Muslims across the globe, despite our, I want to say best efforts, but I don't know if I can, despite our efforts to bring to an end. And from every sequence of events that occurs on this planet and in this world, and from every experience and scenario that you witness in life, you must walk away with some lesson. Some lesson. It is absolutely unacceptable from an Islamic perspective at least, and as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, for us to go through something, to witness an atrocity of some sort, or go through a difficulty, or be stuck with an obstacle or a misfortune of any kind, and then not learn something from it. That's the point of these difficulties and obstacles, is that we learn something for the future, that we don't allow them to occur again, or at least we take a step forward in preventing them from occurring, or preventing their consequences from being as harsh as they were at the first time around. And when we take a moment and think about what we've witnessed, and I have to say that it's been this ongoing 9 months and ongoing, The fact that this actually happened in our lifetime is surprising to me. I guess I'm quite naive. I didn't think something like this would actually occur within my lifetime. I thought that we had achieved enough that this would be the, this degree of brutality, this degree of barbarianism, this level of just complete negligence of our human rights. For it to happen during our lifetime, to me, I just didn't think this was going to actually occur. I always knew that that would happen when we did it to each other. See, there's a difference between what we're actually seeing on TV occurring in Palestine and then what happens in Muslim countries like Syria, for example, or Lebanon, or Sudan, or Bangladesh, or other. There's a difference between when it happens in a domestic, meaning we brought it on ourselves. It's a person who's from the same background, similar names, a similar faith. They just have different ideology, and we mistreat each other, and we fail to find unity within our own country. That's one problem, and we've had that for a long time. I don't think we're going to fix it anytime soon. It's different when it's coming from the outside. It's different when you're being attacked from an external source, which is why when we talk about Palestine, there's that piece to it that's a little bit significant, that's a little different. In addition, that land is the land of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and within it the Masjid al-Aqsa lies. So there's a religious importance to it, which is why I think it has that importance, that significance. It allowed us as a Muslim ummah to really think and contemplate, and it showed us the number of Muslims that exist in the West today. I don't think we fully appreciated the number of Muslims that lived in the West until this happened, where we got to see the ongoing encampments and the protests and the people, and we got to see people in the hundreds of thousands coming out in every Western city all throughout Europe and within North America. It reminds us that we do have numbers. So we're not really lacking when it comes to numbers. And we're not lacking when it comes to youth. We're not lacking really when it comes to wealth. What we're lacking is just a sense of activism, really. This is my opinion. I know you can argue with me that what we're lacking is leadership, and you probably have a point when you say it, that we lack leadership. But I don't think leadership is possible if the people are not in the mindset of being activists. Meaning, and what does activism mean? Activism is when you devote and dedicate your life or yourself to a cause that is beyond you. You prioritize that cause above everything else. You prioritize it above everything else in your life, and everything else you do in your life is designed to serve that cause that you're working towards. And over the last couple of weeks, I pointed out a number of aspects regarding the concept of activism, and I shared with you the different things the Quran talked about when the Quran discussed the story of the people of the Cape Ahlul Kahf, because that's the best example that we have in the Quran. And last week I talked to you about why you do it. You do it for yourself. You do it to benefit yourself. Today I want to remind you, okay, what is the objective though? What is the objective of this activism? The objective is not Palestine. That is not the objective. That is what's going to happen on your way to your objective. That is going to be one of the consequences, the liberty of that part of the world and the unity of the Muslim ummah and the betterment and the wellness of the Muslim populations in the Middle East and in the Muslim majority countries or in the West is a consequence of this activism, but it's not the objective. The actual objective is different, and it has to be clear. The objective of activism for Muslims is hidayah. Is achieving guidance for themselves and for others. That is the ultimate goal. It always has been. Nothing else has ever taken that away. That can never change. Our goal as Muslims, the ultimate goal is that people accept Islam. They find guidance. They find the truth. They find haqq. And they follow it. As you work towards that, all the other things will fall in line. As you work towards finding guidance for yourself and granting it to others, you will liberate the places that require liberation. You will unite people who should be standing in one line. You will educate those who are seeking knowledge. You will bring people back. You will bring people together. It will happen as a consequence of the activism, but that's not the goal. The goal is this ummah having enough guidance to support itself and being able to offer that guidance to others. The moment we lose sight of that objective, it all crumbles. The moment as Muslims we lose sight of that objective, things don't work anymore. It's a fatal flaw within the whole system when you don't understand what the goal is. Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk to us about Ahlul Kahf and what they said when they retreated into the cave. And by the way, The cave is symbolic in this story. The cave is symbolic as a place where they took time to reflect and contemplate and come up with their plan. You need a cave, not a literal one, but you need a symbolic one. You need that space, that mental space, that communal space where we retreat for a moment and we assess our situation and we come up with a plan, with steps to take forward in order for us to achieve our objective. See, they knew their objective. Ahl al-Kahf, they didn't have to sit down and figure that out. They were trying to figure out, how do we achieve our objective? Is it achievable? And for a moment there, they thought, this is not achievable. There's only 3 or 5 or 7 of us. We're all teenagers, and it's impossible that we can change, that we can, it's too difficult. They knew what the objective was. They said it. هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِم بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Our people are they're lost. They're walking down a path that is corrupt. It's crooked. It's wrong. It's going to be their demise. They have no evidence to support it. It's incorrect. They don't have the guidance. Who is worse than the person who lies in the name of God? Who is worse than the person iftara ala Allahi kadhiba? They lie in his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for them, this was the problem, is that their people were misguided. They needed to find a way to guide them. Because guidance is not just finding the qibla within a masjid and praying. Guidance is much more than that. Guidance is figuring out the importance of being honest, of being trustworthy, of being someone who's a straight shooter, of not being corrupt, of not being someone who accepts oppression from themselves or upon themselves. Someone who looks at everyone as equals and works towards their prosperity. This is what guidance offers you. When you accept Islam, this is what you learn. This is what you learned first. This is what you learned first. It has to be the priority. If you learn Islam and that's not what comes to you immediately through the method of your education, if somehow you are led to believe that there are other things that are more important than haqq and adl and istiqama and Islam, that anything comes before them, then you were mistaught this religion. Then you were told something that is untrue. They knew what was the most important thing. It was guidance. That was the objective. You know that because you ask for it 17 times a day at a minimum. At minimum. Many of you do it way more than that. You say ihdina as-sirata 17 times. Anyone listening, anyone who's bugging you and listening to everything you're saying and translating it is saying, oh, this person must really want guidance. They ask for it many, many times a day. If they're listening to your words, if they're eavesdropping, and they most likely are, then they're wondering, why is this person so obsessed with guidance? They ask for it all day long. At least 17 times I heard him ask, oh Lord, grant me the guidance of walking the straight path. We know that that's the objective. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. When the victory of your Lord and the grand opening comes, and you see people entering into his deen in groups, that's the victory. The victory is not for other populations to submit. It's not for them to submit to your willpower, to your strength, for you to be the upper hand upon them. No. The victory is the achievement of guidance. And when you achieve guidance, you become a person of haqq. And when you become a person of haqq, all of the misfortunes and all of the injustices that exist in the world will start to fade away. They'll fade away on their own. We have to remind ourselves what the objective is. And when you read Surah Al-Kahf and you continue within the story of Ahl al-Kahf, you find it pointed out again. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْهُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. The stuff that I say every single Friday at the beginning of the khutbah, you know, the part that everyone ignores and just waits for what's coming next. It's taken from Surah Al-Kahf, from the story of the people of the cave. Those who Allah guides are the ones who truly have guidance. And the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides are the ones who will never find their way. They will never find Wali Murshid. They will never find Murshid. They'll never find Rashad. Right? Isn't that what they asked about at the beginning? I shared this with you a few weeks ago. This is what they said to Ya Rab, Atina min ladunka rahma, wa hayyi' lana min amrina rashada. They wanted clarity. You wanted clarity to walk the path the way it needs to be walked. If Allah grants you guidance, you'll figure it out. If he doesn't grant you guidance, then you'll never find that clarity. You'll never find it. This peace is essential in understanding what our deen stands for and understanding why it is that it's important for you to live a life where you prioritize something beyond your basic needs. To be an activist is when you prioritize a cause. The cause is to spread Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance, to accept His guidance, and as an act of gratitude for it, you spread it as far as you can. You make sure this guidance goes in every direction, that people have the opportunity and the ability to accept it and to hear it appropriately, because that is what's going to bring back righteousness and justice and incorruptibility into societies again. And you live for that. So your family, that's the point of having a family, is to bring forward into this world people who will continue to do that. To bring our own children and grant them that guidance. Make sure they find that guidance and they continue to spread it. That's why you work, so that you have enough money to take care of your family so they can grow up to be people of guidance, and that you have enough time outside of work to continue to push forward for guidance. Everything you do in your life has to be focused towards, has to be towards that goal. It's when it's not that we don't get anywhere. You see, we can't afford as Muslims, if you understand what Islam is, you can't afford to live a life where it's just you get up, you go to work, you come back, you eat, you drink, you sleep, you get up, you do it again, and you take some time off here and some time off there, you socialize, you have some friends. This is not, it doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. To see Islam that way and to accept La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and then live like that, there is a huge discrepancy. Like there's something missing. There's something that is extremely important that's missing in this formula, in this equation of how we understood our own deen. Because he didn't live like that, alayhi salatu wasalam. He didn't. Now if he did, then that would be a different argument, but he did not. He lived differently, and all those who followed him also lived differently. They continued. But people don't remember. No one's going to remember you for the daily activities that everyone has to do. Like, no one's going to remember me for going to my job every day and coming back and paying my bills and taking care of my children. No one remembers you for that. No one remembers who your family was. When I give you names of people like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Uzair and Talha, and ask you, who are their wives? Tell me their number, name of their children. How many did they have? Where did they live? You don't know, and you don't care. And I don't blame you, and you don't have to, because these are the normal daily activities we all have to be a part of. What you remember them for was their activism. You remember them for the people that they, you remember for them for other things that they did, for the fact that they dedicated their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for spreading the deen and for teaching. Imagine if they didn't, this masjid wouldn't exist, and people would slowly just disappear. You would just fade away. If you went back in history and they didn't, and they lived the way we're living, then none of this would be here today. No. There's nothing impressive about living that life. Everyone does that. And you're supposed to do that. I'm not saying you stop doing it. You have to. We all have to get up and go to work and make a living and take care of a family. But why? Why are you doing all of this? What's the point? Is it just because it's cultural? That's it? Is because your parents would be upset if you don't marry a good wife or a good man and have some children, and you're going to feel less than? Is that why you're doing it? If that's why you're doing it, well, don't do it. Wallahi, listen to me. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it doing it for that. Wallahi, it's not. You have to be doing it for a different reason. There has to be a different cause for it. Like, there has to be in your mind a goal that you're working towards, and you're making sure that all of your arrows are pointing towards that goal. The wealth that you make, the family that you raise, the knowledge that you learn, the work that you do, everything is working towards this goal. And that goal, that objective has to be guidance, has to be hidayah. And on the path towards that, we stand, because hidayah means that you recognize where haqq is and where batil is. So you stand for haqq and you stand against batil, and you refuse oppression and you refuse transgression. It happens automatically. If you make the cause just one thing, if we make the cause Palestine, then what about the rest of the Muslim world? What about the rest of the Muslim ummah? What about them? But they're living in democratic, well-run countries. Is that what we think that? Yeah. Anyone here actually believe any of it? If you make the goal just one spot, then you've lost the bigger picture. The picture is bigger. Zoom out, ya akhi. Zoom out is bigger. The idea is much bigger. It's not even just the Muslim world. It's not just that. No, it's beyond that. It's guidance to all of mankind. It's to the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And within that guidance, we will unite this ummah, and we will take back that which is rightfully ours, and we will remove oppressors, and we will remove oppression. That's what will happen on the way towards that goal. But the goal has to be that. It has to be clear. فيسأل عليه الصلاة والسلام، هذا حديث متفق عليه عند البخاري ومسلم، يقول عليه: لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide one person through you is better for you than everything in the world. We think, and I'm sorry maybe to pop this bubble, that it's just getting someone to say la ilaha illallah. That's one aspect of guidance. That's just one aspect of guidance. Guidance is an ongoing thing. If guidance was a one-act thing, why are you saying it every time in salah? You've been doing it for 30 years and you'll probably do it to the day you die. If guidance was a one-time deal, then we wouldn't need to continuously ask for it. What he's saying, alayhi salatu wasalam, is may Allah, if Allah uses you to guide people because you're living correctly, because you're living the way you're supposed to live, and people are watching, and those around you are identifying that, yes, this person is guided. I want to be more like that. I want to think like that, live like that, be like that. And then they start walking behind you down that path. That's how you guide people. What's the point of bringing someone in to say la ilaha illallah and then they get no support? They get no support. They're cut off by their own family. They lose their jobs. They don't speak the language. And then they go back. What's the point? What's the point? What we get for a moment here to be happy that someone said la ilaha, and then what? How are you going to make sure that person continues guidance? How are we going to make sure that our own children continue in a path of guidance? How do we make sure that we do? It has to be the objective. Advocacy and activism, these are methods, these are means towards achieving the objective of وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ يَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ. استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي، لا ينسين أحدكم أن الغاية العظمى وأن المطلب الأسمى هو تحقيق الهداية للنفس وللآخرين، هو نشر هذا الدين بين الناس، هو إيصال لا إله إلا الله إلى عقول وقلوب البشر جميعا. هذه كانت مهمة سيدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. عاش عمره ليبلغ الرسالة وليؤدي الأمانة إلى الناس جميعا، لا إلى أم القرى فقط ولكن لما حولها. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أدرك هذه المهمة فغرس في قلوب أتباعه أنه إذا ما انتقل إلى الرفيق الأعلى أن يتابعوا بعده هذا العمل. فتابعوا بعده فنشروا الإسلام إلى الشرق وإلى الغرب وإلى الشمال وإلى الجنوب، حتى وصل الإسلام ودخل كل بيت بعز عزيز وبذل ذليل. دخل الإسلام البيوت كلها، ورأينا ذلك خلال هذه الأشهر الماضية. رأينا الناس يخرجون نصرة للفلسطينيين في أصقاع الأرض كلها، من الصين إلى أوروبا إلى أمريكا الجنوبية، وفي أفريق خرج الناس في كل مكان، فعرفنا أن المسلمين موجودون، وأن ما ينقصهم هو شيء من التنظيم وشيء من التضحية وشيء من الالتزام والثبات على أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى، وأن هذا إذا ما تحصل لنا ولهم صلح أمر الدنيا والآخرة للمسلمين، كما صلح أمر هذه الأمة في أولها يصلح في آخرها بنفس الشيء، بذات الأمر، بالالتزام بأمره سبحانه وتعالى، بتقديم النفس والمال. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين. يا أخواني، الله اشترى، أنت بعت، هو اشترى سبحانه وتعالى وخلص. اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم. أنت بعت ولا لسه؟ ولا لقيت شر أحسن منه؟ ها؟ وجدت شر أحسن منه؟ أحسن من ربنا سبحانه وتعالى؟ يعرض على كل امرئ يغدو فبائع نفسه فموبقها أو معتقها. كل إنسان يبيع نفسه، كل إنسان يبيع نفسه، يعني رضي أم لم يرضى، الكل يبيع. إما تبيع نفسك لغاية عظمى عند الله سبحانه وتعالى لها أجر، أو تبيع نفسك لشيء يوبقك في الدنيا وفي الآخرة. كلنا نبيع. تبيع نفسك إما لملذاتك، إما لعائلتك، إما لمالك، إما لعملك، إما لمجتمعك، أو تبيع نفسك لربك سبحانه وتعالى. فليختر كل منا، لأننا سنبيع. البيع حاصل، الفرق فقط الشر. مين اللي اشترى منك؟ ها؟ ربنا سبحانه وتعالى، ولا لقيت واحد تاني غيره؟ أوجدت خيرا منه؟ ها؟ عاش وكل سبحانه وتعالى جل في علاه، اشترى من المؤمنين أموالهم أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. هم لهم الجنة إذا باعوا، إذا أدوا ما عليهم، إذا أعطوا ربهم ما عندهم. والغاية العظمى هو تحقيق الهداية. When I look at the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام's life, you see this dedication towards wanting guidance for others on a level that is really difficult to emulate. I have to admit, when I cannot for the life of me follow in the footsteps, I know they're correct and I know we should, but it's too hard. Alayhi salatu wasalam had this is what activism is. It's when there's absolutely nothing that will cloud your vision or your view of what your objective is, and you're going to work towards it regardless of anything. Alayhi salatu wasalam, his goal was guidance. And guidance only occurs when haqq is respected, when batil is refuted, when justice is established. And I want to share with you the story in the collection of Imam Bukhari, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was approached by a man named Abdullah. Abdullah is Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul is a man who was the head of the hypocrites and the munafiqeen in Medina for the longest time. This man had harmed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at every corner in every way he could. He tried everything. He tried to get him killed. He called his wife a word that I'm not going to use on a minbar. He called his family something. He withheld his zakah, and he told people to do it as well. He pulled a third of an army on the day of battle, hoping that the Prophet and the people with him would get killed. He tried everything he could to get to end Islam, but he failed. He didn't work out. Time and time again, over 15 attempts this man made. And he would publicly speak about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in ways that are, if I shared with you, I would only make it. Maybe I should fill your heart with a little bit of anger towards this man. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is visiting an elderly lady who is dying within a neighborhood. So he's coming alayhi salatu wasalam, he's on his mule. So he comes by and the mule is walking and he crosses the house, in front of the house, in front of the door of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. So he says, this man, قَالَ مَا أَخْرَجَكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ تُزْعِجُنَا بِحِمَارِكَ هَلَّا بَقِيتَ فِي بَيْتِكَ وَهَذِهِ الرِّيحِ. What is this? Why are you leaving your home, coming to our neighborhood with your disgusting donkey? It smells, you're making this place smell like... This is what he would say to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he would ignore, alayhi salatu wasalam wouldn't run, he would go and visit the lady, stand there at her. No one does this, no one goes in. And the poor people, when they pass away, no one cares. It doesn't make headlines and no one's willing to go and visit them. He would do this alayhi salatu wasalam. Go and stand at the footstep of a bed of a lady who's passing away, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. This man would continue to say these things. He was on the way back from another battle, he would say, لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. When we get back, the superior will remove the inferior from the city. He's referring to himself as the superior and to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He would say, on another battle, he'd say, the example that we have with the Muslim, with the Muhammad and the people with him, is the example, قَلْ مَا مَثَلُنَا وَمَثَلُ هَؤُلَاء إِلَّا كَالْمَثَلِ الْقَائِلِ سَمِّنْ كَلْبَكَ يَأْكُلْكَ. So the example that we have with Muhammad and the Muslims is the example of feed your dog a lot and he'll eat you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what he did. Now his son Abdullah was a good man. He came to the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Abi yahtadir, my dad is dying. فَأَعْطِنِي قَمِيصَكَ. Will you give me your thobe, your galabiyah? أُكَفِّنْهُ فِيهِ, to put him in. The Sahaba are sitting there, فقال نعم صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he took off his qamis and he gave it to him. قال آذني أصلي عليه. Give me, let me know, and I'll come and I'll do salat al-janazah upon him. يقول يأخذه عمر يجذبه من طرف ثوبه. Umar is walking with him, pulling him from his thobe, saying, يا رسول الله ألم يقل كذا, يا رسول الله ألم يفعل كذا, يا رسول الله أتذكر يوم كذا. He's pulling the Prophet back, saying, يا رسول الله, what are you doing? Remember when he said this? Remember when he did this? Remember when he behaved that way? Remember when he did that to you? يقول يا عمر إن الله جعلني بين خيرتين استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم. إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. You can ask for forgiveness, or you don't ask for forgiveness for them. You can do it 70 times, they won't be forgiven. The Prophet, what he took from that is that he gave me a choice, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave me a choice. I do it, I don't do it. I want to do it. يقول فذهب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فنزل في قبر عبد الله. He goes into the grave of this man. And then he puts him in his own thawb. And he prays his janazah for him. And right after that, the Quran would be revealed, and the ayah would be وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. Do never pray upon a munafiq again and never go to their grave again. Now, Jibreel wasn't busy. He could have come 30 minutes before, but he didn't. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us here. Watch. See who Rasulullah is. See him. See him so you understand what his mindset is like, so you can learn. Watch him. I couldn't do it. There are people who I will never pray janazah for. There are people, if they die, I will idbah 20 kharuf. And I will feed people meat for a week if they die. I will be in joys for weeks. It will make my year. It will make my decade if they die. Just die before me. Just go before I do. I don't have what he has, alayhi salatu wasalam. That thing in his heart, I can't get it. This man was his sworn enemy. This was the person who harmed him the most, alayhi salatu wasalam. It was not related to him. You see, the people of Quraysh, you could say, well, you know, Abu Jahl was related to him one way or the other, alayhi salatu wasalam. There was some relation, maybe third, fourth, fifth cousin, but still from Quraysh. Abu Lahab, same thing, his uncle. It's hard to make that. But this man was not related to him in any form or manner. And there was never a history of goodness between them. He was his enemy from the day he entered Medina, alayhi salatu wasalam. This man showed him nothing but hatred. He showed him nothing but betrayal. And when he died, he went and salla alayhi sallallahu alayhi sallam. What heart is this? It's in my. I don't look at it sentimentally. I don't. I look at it from a standpoint of activism. This is someone who sees the objective. The objective is guidance. And it's people going to Jannah. And if it means he has to swallow his own ego, if it means he has to put away his personal feelings and get over himself, then he will do it. If that's the price, then he'll pay it. If the price for someone to make it to Jannah is for him to swallow his own ego and forget about the harm and the pain and the trauma and the mistreat, then he will do it, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's dedication. You want dedication? That's dedication for you. It's his motto, one more soul to Jannah, if I can get one more soul there. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajma'in. And that's what I think. That's what I think this is about. I think it's about that. I don't think, I know. I'm sharing that with you. The objective, the goal is guidance. That's what we're supposed to dedicate our lives for, it to obtain it for ourselves and trying to get it to everyone else. Guidance is not just knowing how to salli. Guidance is recognizing haqq for what it is. It's recognizing batil for what it is. It's recognizing the causes that you should defend and stand for. That's guidance. What's the point if you pray qiyam al-layl but you accept oppression? What guidance do you have? You don't have it. There is something missing fundamentally. So we ask Allah, ihdina sirat, ya Rab, guide us in every way. Make sure we're guided on every front. We're guided in the way that we deal with you. We're guided in the way that we understand our Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. We're guided in the way that we deal with our community. We're guided in the way that we see the world and we see ourselves within it. That we're guided in the way that we deal with our families and our neighbors and our spouses and our children and our parents and the Muslim ummah and the human race. We need to be guided. I'm going to end this khutbah with the story of Thumama. Thumama was one of the kings of Rabi'a. So not to bore you with this, but the Adnaniyin, which are the Adnanites, which are the descendants of Ismail alayhi salam. So and that's half of the Arab. There are two large tribes. There's al-Mudariyun, which is where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam comes from. He's a Mudari. And there's Rabi'a. Right, and for the longest time, they hated each other's guts, and they fought and they killed each other for a long time. And they didn't get along for a very, very long time, and they probably still don't. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam put in a lot of effort to try and perform da'wah for Rabi'ah specifically, because they know Hajj and they still have remnants of the guidance of Ismail and Ibrahim alayhi salam within them. They're lost. Thumama was one of the kings of Rabi'ah, and he put his money towards trying to kill the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in multiple occasions. The Prophet alayhi salam, they tried to assassinate him 9 times in his life. Thumama was responsible for 2 of them. He tried. And then he was caught by the Muslims. And they didn't know who he was when they caught him. The two Muslims caught this person who was... And they brought him to Medina. The Prophet ﷺ saw him, he knew who he was. So he didn't say anything. He said, tie him to one of the sawari of the masjid. So one of these, this pillar here in the masjid. They tied him to it. Provided him with food and drink and bathroom rest and all that stuff. And the Prophet ﷺ would come to him every day, alayhi salatu wasalam, and ask him, kayfa anta, how are you today? So Thumama would say, يعني ان تقتل تقتل ذا دم وان تعفو تعفو عن شاكر. يعني if you kill me, يعني وان تطلب مالا فلك فعندي المال. If you want money, I'll give you money. If you kill me, then I deserve it. I've killed a lot of Muslims, so I can't really... And if you forgive me, then you'll forgive someone who'll be later grateful. So he walks away, alayhi salatu wasalam, from him, doesn't even respond. This guy stays tied in the masjid for the full day. The next day he comes, the same thing, asks him the same question. Huh? How are you today? Says the same thing. If you kill me, I can't really complain. If you want money, I'm very rich. I'll give you as much as you want. And if you forgive me and you pardon me, then I'll be very grateful. He walks away. He saw him, doesn't even respond to him. The third day, he asks him the same question. He answered the same way. So he tells the Sahaba, Fuku, let him go. Get out. Get out. I'm not killing you. I'm not asking you for money. I'm not pardoning you. Just get out. So the man walks away. He goes to the nearest orchard within Medina. He finds a well. He goes in and he goes there and he does his ghusl. And he comes back to the masjid and he waits for them to finish salah. And he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka abduhu wa rasuluhu. And this man would be one of the most influential people within the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's life afterwards. Why is it that this happened? Well, he was tied to the masjid for 3 days. He was tied in a masjid for 3 days. He saw the dedication and devotion of the Sahaba. He saw how organized they were. He saw how compassionate they were. He saw how clear they were. He saw how true they were, how genuine, how righteous they were. He saw it every day for 3 days straight. The Prophet ﷺ was not interested in these silly things he was asking for. Wealth and... he's interested in his guidance. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, get out. You're talking to me about wealth and vengeance, and I'm here to see, have you found Allah yet? Huh? Have you found Allah yet? No, you haven't found Allah. Why? Why is it taking you so long to find La ilaha illallah? So Thumama started to think, okay, he's looking for something bigger. And he observed the dedication, the activism of these Muslims. I wonder if you've tied someone in a masjid today. Yeah. What would they see? What would they feel? What would they think? If someone observed Muslims in a masjid for 3 days, just watch them, watch their behavior, watch their attendance, what would they think? It was a different time. It was a different breed of people who just had a little peace in their hearts that was different than what we have today. And I swear to you that if that peace finds its way back into the Muslim heart, the collective Muslim heart, then things will change quicker than you can even possibly imagine. Things change quickly. They do. We have a track record of that as Muslims. We have a track record of things going from a really dark position to a very bright one in record time, in very short periods of time. The piece that's missing is that degree of dedication, that devotion, that I know this next generation has the potential of having, because what they observed over the last 9 months is absolutely, undeniably something we don't want to ever see again. And I just pray that that's the outcome that we find at the end of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to dedicate ourselves to his cause, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the early ummah did. I mean, I hope that was a benefit to you. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين، وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وعن صحابته الغر الميامين، وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين، ونفس كروب المكروبين، وارفع الغم عن المغمومين، وارفع الظلم معني المظلومين، واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين. اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان، احقن دماءهم في غزة والسودان وبنغلاديش وغيرها من بلاع الأرض يا رب العالمين. اللهم أخرج الصهاينة من أرض فلسطين، ورد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين. اللهم ردنا إليك أجمعين ردًا جميلًا، وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبًا وجسدًا وروحًا، وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.